Johnson.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Right, and we are back. It is that time of the week, Sportsaholics episode number 97. Yes, that is number 97. What a great year 97 was. This is the Joe Bimel number 97 episode. Eric, Joe Bimel, he's a middle relief pitcher. I remember him from, he played with the Dodgers from 2006 to 2008. And in 2008, those were the Manny Wood years in L.A. I mean, those were glorious Dodger years. You had, I remember one year they had like seven Jasons on the Dodgers. It was like Jason Repko, Jason Worth. Well, there's, okay, so there's two out of seven. God, who else?
I like when there's stuff like that. Like at one point a couple of years ago, they were like, there were seven quarterbacks named Matt. There were seven starting quarterbacks in the NFL named Matt, and no two other quarterbacks. No two other starting quarterbacks shared the same name, because there was only one Tom, there was one Peyton, there was one Ben, but there were seven Matts.
But Joe Bimel, like any good middle relief pitcher, bounced around. He started off with the Rays.
This is terrible. All the 97s. You know what? Sports of all the Hollis fans out there, this is a do-it-yourself
number 97.
No, send in, please, you Gmail us. It's sportsofhollis with an X at Gmail. And you give us your best 99.
No, tweet at us.
And we will rename this episode in your honor.
Don't.
This is a do-it-yourself 97.
No, don't email us. Tweet at us. That way, I can see it, and I can debate this publicly. But I like Joe Bimel. That's what this show is about. It's being a sportsaholic. If you don't know who Joe Bimel is, look him up and read his stats and say, man, if I would have tried a little bit harder in high school, maybe I could have made the major leagues. That's what Joe Bimel's all about, Eric. It's not about finding someone better. It's 97. Right. What are your options? Hockey? Some weird guy that maybe played in the NBA for a second?
There's a lot of linemen. I'd say you get a lot of defensive linemen. I think you're not giving your 97s, your 98s. You know, Mark Gastineau is right around the corner at 99, my friend. I mean, Mark Gastineau, the New York Stock Exchange, as you know, one of my all-time favorite teams. So.
And I cannot wait for 100. I mean, do we go with the Big Chief? I mean, we got the Big O Oster tag, or is 0-0 and 00? Is that have to be 100? You know what I mean? Because you could have they're two different.
Yeah, I was thinking when we're at 138, will we just call it 30? You know, we'll do Shilling again. I don't know. We'll have to get into that.
We have a couple weeks to decide, apparently. But let's talk about episode number 97. This is a great episode because I talk with Dr. Lynn Lashbrook. And if you go to sportsmanagementworldwide.com, that's sportsmanagementworldwide.com, all one word there. His whole organization is about getting you started in that profession. Like if you want to be a sports agent, you reach out to him. He's got different courses you can take, and it's not just baseball. It's like cricket, soccer. He and himself personally is an NFL agent. But that's his profession. But we had him on to talk about his passion, which is bringing professional Major League Baseball to Portland for the first time. The Pacific Coast had a league there forever, on and off. Obviously, we recommend the Magnificent Bastards of Baseball, or God, no, that's not it. It's the movie about Kirk Russell's Portland Mavericks. They were an independent league team in the 70s. The Battered Bastards of Baseball, that's what it is, the Battered, which is a fantastic movie, which comes up in the interview. And then we also, because it is the Broncos' 8th time to the Super Bowl. Eight times, eight trips.
Yeah.
Two victories, maybe three.
Yeah.
But even if you're 3-8, you're still, I mean, either way, we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that.
Brant Tobler, hilarious comedian, not going to the Super Bowl this year. Been in the past, went to previous Super Bowls where they were crushed by the Seahawks. They just got a bad habit of just not showing up to the Super Bowl. And that's not a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like they do have that mile-high advantage, but sometimes when they play at a neutral site, it doesn't seem to go quite their way. But I'm certainly rooting for – I'm rooting for an earthquake, geez, is what I'm rooting for. But maybe we'll talk about that later.
Now, is there something to that? Because, you know, Colorado was where you go to die if you're a pitcher. It's where you go to make money if you're a free agent. Baseball, you know, first baseman, you know, get your stats inflated. But how does that translate into football? Are you conditioned?
Well, you have to use the oxygen. I mean, that's, you know, it's been a real, you know, I never, as a Patriots fan, the whole season was about trying to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And when we didn't get it, we really knew that out the end, that it could end in Denver. That you no longer controlled your own destiny. And we don't, you know, Tom is now 2-7 in Denver. You know, if there's one kryptonite, it's putting Tom Brady, you know, and that's a very great defense. And that's, you know, and we didn't want to be there. We wanted to have it on home field. And when we failed to do that, Denver has a real home field advantage.
Yeah, well, it's not oxygen aside and being on the sidelines sucking air. When you pass the ball, maybe it flies a little bit longer, maybe.
Well, you know, I mean, they keep making field goals longer.
You know, it's
imagine what those Peyton Manning dying quail passes would look in actual atmosphere. I mean, it might just be those balls might only be able to fly in that light atmosphere.
Well, it's either, but if you're Cam Newton, it doesn't matter either way because you're, you know.
I'm rooting for the blowout. I'm not making any. I mean, I was sort of against the Panthers, especially when they were perfect. But now, I mean, you know, hey, look, we're looking at a 15-1, sort of like a Chicago Bear. Now they'll look like the new they'll look like the Chicago Bears of this generation. And I kind of hope that they whip Peyton as bad as the Bears beat up the Patriots.
And I know, look, and don't pretend that if the Panthers were still undefeated, that you would not be rooting for Peyton Manning right now. There's no doubt in my mind you would be absolutely pulling for Peyton Manning.
I don't know if I would. I don't think that. That's a great question.
I mean, your pride.
Would I be rooting for Peyton Manning if the Panthers? That's a real rock and a hard place. I'm gonna say I'd probably be rooting for the Panthers.
Still rooting for the Panthers. I mean, you did that.
I guess.
Look, it takes.
In some ways, I really hated Don Shula and the 72 Dolphins. I hated their snide attitude. I hate their champagne. And, you know, there are a couple of sports fan bases out there that have truly now flirted with going perfect. I mean, but the Patriots are the ones who do it in the regular season, you know, and the Dolphins have that terrible tradition of popping champagne when the last undefeated team gets defeated. And I think it's a shitty tradition that I've never liked because I also don't, I never think highly of it. If the 72 Dolphins hadn't gone perfect, they would not be remembered at all. They would be like, because nobody remembers that first Dallas Super Bowl team that beat the Dolphins, and nobody really cares. Like, I'm sorry to say, you know,
look,
no one
okay.
really cares about the Chiefs. Like, Chiefs is a very, your Chiefs Super Bowl IV win is a super important. It feels that the AFL winning Super Bowl III wasn't a fluke. Like, the AFL is here to stay, and that was great. But then when, like, you know, whatever, Dallas beat the Colts, and, you know, whatever, no one cares about those Dolphin teams. That was a really ugly, those are a couple ugly kind of Super Bowls. And it was only afterwards, like, you know, when like the Steelers win four and they beat Dallas twice, Like, that's when the Super Bowl starts becoming the Super Bowl. Like, around
and
Super
that's
Bowl
four
10.
Or five. That's four or five. That starts immediately after. Well, that starts, what, 74, 75? Or no, wait, 77, 76, 75.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're talking about the bicentennial. And, of course, you know, you have some great playoff teams. Like, the late, you know, Monday Night Football now is in full swing. It's the 70s. It's Steelers, Raiders. You know what I mean?
You got two, you know, the Lynn Swan catches. I got, from courtesy of Stats on Tap and the internet, here are some quick facts about the 1972 Dolphins that you might not know. The Dolphins topped the NFL that season with 385 points scored. They also topped the league with the fewest points allowed at 171. Yeah. Of their 14 regular season wins, only three were driven by 7 points or less. Interestingly enough, their three playoff wins were all by 7 points or less. They gave up 20 points or more in only three games. Their lowest scoring game of the season was the 14 they scored on their Super Bowl win over the Washington Redskins. Dolphins only had two running backs who finished with the season with 1,000 or more yards rushing, Larry Zonka and Mercury Morris. It was the first time teammates had rushed for 1,000 yards or more in the same season. A running back, Jim Kick, gave Miami three running backs who each had 135 or more rushing attempts that season. That's something.
Yeah.
Miami scored first in 11 of the 14 games. Led at halftime at 11.
None of that's interesting. They played the Browns, the Jets were. You know, you're like,
here it is. Okay, here we go. Some,
it's the AFL. No one cares about that period. Nobody
some
cares.
People have
it's
noted
14,
that
it's a 14 game season.
Look, here it is. This is it. This is the most important one right here. Some people have noted that Miami did not play a very strong schedule in their perfect season. The aggregate winning percentage of their opponents in 1972 was 39%. Almost 39.6. Yeah. Only two of the teams they played that year ended up with winning seasons. The Chiefs at 8-6 and the Giants at 8-6. Eight of their wins came against division foes, the Jets ending up at 7-7, the Colts of Baltimore ending at 5-9, Buffalo at 4-9-1 tie, and New England at 3-11. So there it is,
yeah,
right there.
It's a terrible division. I'm telling you, it's one of those weird things where it's like it's the AFL's in transition, and this was a 3-year run that Miami could be good, but it would never be good again. I mean, you know, it's like it was like all of a sudden you had the rise of the Steelers, the Raiders, the Earl Campbell Oilers, and you know that was the end of the Dolphins. They were competitive. Don't get me wrong. We all know the Dolphins under Shula were competitive all through the Marino run and you know through the 70s, but they weren't, you know, they weren't the Steelers. They weren't the Raiders. They weren't bringing home. This is a weak time.
I wasn't around then, but you know, Larry Zonka doesn't. I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but no one was like, let's get behind Larry Zonka. You know, I don't just see.
Well,
a lot,
you know,
I don't see
a
lot of
very
people.
Funny comedian James Painter once said about O.J. Simpson. This was back when they let white guys play defense. I mean, it's like. When you look at like the no-name defense of the Miami Dolphins, I mean these aren't guys. You know there are some guys like Nejo Green that you know could still play today, and certain quarterbacks and skill position players, but there aren't a whole lot of like
Mike Ditka, the 6'1", 215-pound tight end, probably doesn't translate well into the modern day NFL.
Game.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's not going to be Gronkowski-like, you know. But, you know, like you assume that, like, a Walter Payton, a Dick Butkus, certain guys that were a Night Train Lane, certain heroes, you know, like a Bart Starr maybe would be able to play, a Johnny Unitas or a Namath Healthy, you know, with today's training could probably play in the NFL. You imagine they could, or, you know, you grade it on a curve. But the Dolphins are not, it's not a sexy team. I remember sometime in the 89 or 90, ESPN did a dream season where they had computer simulated a bunch of like, you know, like the all-time great teams, and they put them in a bracket. And so they put all the great Super Bowl champions, and they sort of simulated games, and they used various old footage to simulate the games. you know, it eventually came down to like the Montana Niners and the Bradshaw Steelers or something. You know, and they had, you know, this team and that team, whichever teams were around, you know, the big strong.
But it's like the Dolphins
Steelers.
Get upset by Phil Simms's Giants of 1990.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. But the 70s Dolphins are always, you know, it's like they are on the short list of greatest teams ever because they went perfect. But that's the only reason. It's like the Chicago Bears were so dominant that, you know, it's like their one loss is like, it sort of helps their legend, if it makes sense.
Well, it's, you know, like in hockey, like the Montreal Canadiens, you know, have a ton of Stanley Cups. Well, there were eight teams in the league then. You know, it's like you're getting...
Sure, but they were winning, sure. Yeah, I mean, they were winning. I mean, there are also times where, I mean, there is one of those things where, you know, when the Red Sox played the Tigers in 2003 in the playoffs, you know, you're talking about the Detroit Tigers and the Boston Red Sox are original major league teams that they both have over 115 years of history now. But in 2013, it was like the first time they'd ever met in the playoffs because... You know, it's like the original World Series. There are, like, the American League doesn't play, the leagues don't play themselves in the playoffs. It was the league champion, you know, after 158 games, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox or whoever the best team was in the AL would go and had the best record, and they'd play against the New York Giants or the, you know, whoever the National League champion was. And then it was like, and then when they finally put divisions in, like in the 60s, it's like, you know, Detroit was actually in the East. So again, like, you know, it was like the Boston and the Yankees playoff history is actually fairly new, although it actually started, like, you know, in 77, 78, whatever the hell Bucky fucking Dent happened. And, you know, because we had the one game playoff, because you can only play teams in one game playoff. So that's interesting, you know.
Well, it's funny because. Let's go to our interview with Dr. Lashbrook, who is a Kansas City native. I just bumped into him at the winter meetings last year, and I'm glad more than ever now that I went because he's a great guy, he's a great interview, and used to attend the old Kansas City Athletics baseball games. We get into that a little bit in the interview as well. But
I can't wait.
Yeah, great guy. Like I mentioned before, sportsmanagementworldwide.com to find out more information. If you want to, you know what, if you're listening and you're 15 years old, 16 years old, and you're thinking, you know what, I want to be a sports agent or in sports behind the scenes, say your batting average right now on your high school team is 200. You're not just, you know what, but you're getting like a 3.9, taking some honors classes. Go to Sports Management Worldwide and see what you can do to maybe you become the next Scott Boras, but like with a soul. Or maybe you become the next Dr. Lynn Lashbrook and have a crusading cause to bring Major League Baseball back to Portland. But we'll get into it on the other side of the break. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me. Da-da-da-da. All right, we are back on Sportsaholics with Dr. Lynn Lashbrook, President of Sports Management Worldwide. Dr. Lashbrook, how are you doing? And thanks for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule to be on Sportsaholics today. Really appreciate that.
I always love to talk baseball.
Yeah, well, and baseball with a fellow Kansas Cityan, come to find out. You've got some Kansas City roots of your own, huh, apparently?
Well, I grew up when the A's were there, and I caught 13 foul balls. Made my son Brett after George Brett, and still trying to believe that my A's belong with me, which would be Portland, Oregon.
Now, do you have any pictures with Charlie O next to the donkey?
No, but I sat next to Charlie O and Pat Friday out in left field bleachers, and I remember he was complaining the old stadium, the scoreboard had strikes before balls, which was unusual. I was a little boy, and he didn't know I was there, and I listened to the whole conversation. So I didn't shake hands with Charlie O, but I did hear him talk about the old scoreboard, the old Municipal Stadium.
That's correct. Well, so you've got a passion for baseball that obviously goes back to Municipal Stadium in Kansas City, you know, where the Chiefs and the Athletics played back You know, well, up until they built the Truman Sports Complex. But I wanted to bring you on because we met last year at the baseball meetings down here in San Diego, just in passing.
Yes.
And one of your passions is bringing baseball at the major league level to Portland for the first time. They've had the Pacific Coast League, since 1903. There's always been professional baseball presence in the city, just never on a major league level. And I think currently only on a single or double A level, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, triple A we've had and single A. Single A was our last, and then, well, the triple A now it's MLS. But you're right, it's the only Pacific Coast team besides Sacramento that doesn't have a major league team.
And so where's that passion come from? Do you see like a baseball fan base there? Or do you think at this point, I mean, I've got family in Portland, and over the past 10 years of visiting, just the expansion of the city itself, there seems like there's a population there that would sustain.
When I came here, they asked me to get involved with bringing AAA baseball back, and Civic Stadium was about ready to be raised, and nobody really politically understood that, you know, we're a major league city, or could be. And so we started studying. I found out we're bigger than Kansas City. So we started that campaign. We raised a lot of money through lottery and money tax income rebate, if I may. And we got about $250 million and still there in Oregon. And we lost on the Expos. And now we're watching the A's in Tampa Bay. And we also know the new commissioner. I'm passionate about baseball, what it did for me growing up in Kansas City. And Portland is designed for baseball architecturally. We have two sides. We just surpassed 4 million in the state of Oregon. That doesn't include Vancouver, Washington, and surrounding areas. And so we're the largest city without a team besides Vegas. And it's a no-brainer. It would help our economy. It would help our quality of life. And it's just the best-kept secret. And we think this time around, baseball needs Portland.
Yeah, I think that's a good argument, too, because, I mean, there is baseball. There's a lot of baseball history in Portland, and you know, recently with the Battered Bastards of Baseball documentary that came out, which was I think probably the best thing that could have happened for your cause, Doctor, is that shine the light, show.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, and to be honest with you, that's why we're launching next week the Portland 2, the number 2, MLBToPortland.com, because we think there's 20,000 fans. We're a sports centric city, much different than an HP or an IBM, but with Under Armour moving to town and Adidas and Nike, we just think that it's a no-brainer. There's 20,000 potential season ticket holders without the walk-up, and that's much better than what the A's have drawn the last 20 years.
Yeah, and the A's, you know, they pride themselves on their quirky fans and everything, but it's like they don't always show up. And that's one good example, too, is look at the Timbers. I mean, they're setting all sorts of records, you know. There's not an empty seat.
They have standing room only. It's unbelievable. And that location, is, you know, was going to be a baseball stadium. And we feel like we saved the stadium in our original campaign. We have two sites next to the Rose Quarter. We have light rail all four directions. And when we brought consultants out the last 2 years, they all salivated over our sites and how much infrastructure was already in place. And we've been encouraged, even through the baseball office, we're not wasting our time. And by the way, with what's going on with the Rams coming back to L.A., it kind of keeps Oakland Raiders out. It'll be interesting, but Oakland's the only two sport stadium besides was San Diego, but seriously, it's a place where you can use a restroom, but you can't flush.
that's interesting. Now, does it have to be relocation or expansion? I'm in the I think with the level of talent worldwide right now, that if baseball did expand again, that, you know, the talent level would not dip that much, because now, you know, we're drawing players more and more now from Cuba and South America. Is that a possibility, or are you relying strictly on the relocation?
No, we're doing both, because it's not in conflict with each other. I really, my magical wish, of course, is the A's, but whether it's Tampa Bay gets a new stadium or they move to Montreal and somebody's going to come to Portland, I do think they'll expand. Like I think the NBA is going to expand, and I think the NHL will expand. And, you know, Seattle doesn't have base hockey, nor basketball. So we're real excited about our future, but I'm not sure. I don't care if it's relocation. I would love to have the A's here. We watch closely to see how baseball is going to handle the Oakland situation because it's hard to come up with the public money, i.e. Kroenke put in his own money for the Rams. So it's a very interesting musical chairs going on. Either way, we have high hopes. And then from the new CBA, owners are tired of subsidizing teams like Oakland and Tampa on the revenue side. And more importantly, there's a lot of money to be made on expansion. I do think that Havana, Mexico City, and others globally are part of the big picture in professional sports in America, but they want to fix the pieces here. And Portland, I think, is a solution not only for baseball, but also for hockey.
You know, and I'm a believer of the International League as the future goes, too. It's funny, as today I'm reading Sports Illustrated, and they have the what they're predicting the Super Bowl 100 and what that would be like. But I do believe in the future, like if you look at NBA, they're going to travel. You'll take like four teams from North America. They'll go to Europe, and they'll play the four European teams over the course of 2 weeks. And then they'll play some friendly matches, kind of like, you know, in random cities as well. But every team will have that on the schedule, and then they'll fly back to North America like 10 days later, having played, you know.
I've been going to London the last 5 years and do a conference there for an NFL game, and I've been saying this for years. By 2000, 2022, the Jaguars will probably be in London, and then you add somebody in Frankfurt. But you've got too big of a brand. I go back to when Lamar Hunt, the late Lamar Hunt, couldn't get an NFL franchise, so he started his own, and hence leveraged the merger and leveraged the Super Bowl. And also brought soccer to America. The globalization revolution going on in sports is unbelievable, particularly with the internet and live content. It's probably the most exciting time I've ever seen in sports. And, you know, I think it's my growing up and always being involved in. I know what baseball does for community. By the way, Portland summers are as good as any summers in the world. We don't get that much rain. The perception of spring, we're no worse than Chicago or Boston. So we've done all the research, and our problem, because the Mr. Phil Knight invests in Oregon and Paul Allen's not from here and Merritt Paulson's not from here, Oregon will have some billionaire like Stan Kroenke or Steve Ballmer that doesn't live in the city but wants to invest in a professional team and needs a location in order to make that investment.
That's, you know, and it's all about money. And I think one good thing, if you go back a few years ago, that's going to help the NFL as far as trying to reach out, I think, to Europe, was when you did have Stan Kroenke going to Arsenal and now acquiring, I believe he owns 63% of the franchise, you know. And so when you have us going over there and transplanting ourselves into their main sport, it only makes sense that we try, you know, that they do the same thing, you know.
I always remember when somebody told me many years ago that during the Depression, baseball attendance went up, and during this Great Recession, the sporting investments just keep going up. It's really revolutionary. And going global, like you said, there's plenty of talent around. One thing people forget in sports, the product is the competition, not the victory. And it's not about the home run or the it really is. And watching Kansas City win the World Series, a small market team that had the highest regional TV rating, even in Boston, when Boston was in the World Series, there's an appetite out there. And to be able to follow my Royals every day from my cell phone.
Love it.
And yet, the opportunity. And baseball needs Portland, and that's, you know, and that's why I appreciate you time to get to do an interview. And as people look at our website and watch us, I think we're going to be reaching the radar screen in conversation, because there's a lot going on since the Rams made their decision last week.
Well, it becomes a lot more feasible in the minds of the sports fan. You're like, well, you know what? If the Rams just moved, why not Tampa Bay? You know, or why not Oakland? Yeah. It becomes much more realistic. Well, as the season goes on, I'd love to, you know, get some more insight. I know you're a busy day, but real quick before you go, any advice for anyone young listening that wants to become a sports agent? Like, what's the proper route that they should take to be in your shoes and have a nice, a very nice, successful?
I've given four letters: SMWW, SamMaryWilliamWilliam.com, Sports Made Worldwide. I started this company. I've been a professor 46 years. And I created an online company to help people start their careers in sports. And we started that with an agent course. And we represent players all over the world in all sports. And so smww.com, we'd be glad, after they look at the website, to help them in any way to get started. I appreciate you asking that question, because that is my main business. The hobby of baseball is something I'm passionate about, giving back to the community. But Sports Made Worldwide is a great story, and there's no excuse to anybody whether they're 70 years old or 17 years old, can't work in the sports.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's, I think that's where you were coming from, possibly, was at the winter meetings, as they were having a big conference of like how to work in baseball, like where are the jobs and how do you get them, you know, and that sort of thing. And so that's sports management worldwide, listeners. Dr. Lashbrook, thank you for your time, and I look forward to, you know, speaking with you down the road. I don't know if you're going to be in spring training March 25th, 6th, and 7th.
Oh, I will. I'll be down there for more than one game. And like I said, my Royals have kind of got me re-hooked or reignited. So I look forward to continuing and keep us posted, but I'll keep you posted as things develop.
And again, real quick, what was the website as far that's going to, you said that's going to be up next week with Portland Baseball?
What's up right now, MLB. To Portland, and that's number 2, MLB2Portland.com.
All right. Dr. Lashbrook, again, thank you for your time, and we will be in touch soon, okay?
Thank you very much.
Dr. Lashbrook, that was very insightful, and now I'm kind of hoping that Portland does get a team. And remember, that's sportsmanagementworldwide.com and also MLB, the number 2, Portland.com, MLB2Portland.com, if you want to find out more information about that campaign. And hopefully, you know, not that I want the Tampa Bay Devil Rays to move, or the Oakland Athletics to move again for the third time in that franchise's history.
Sure.
But you know,
I'm
what?
Kansas City right there.
It's a good location, and like he mentioned, you know, Under Armour, you got Adidas, you've got Nike. I mean, that's...
But imagine finally have a Major League Baseball team that change their jerseys every day like the Oregon Ducks did, because, you know, they're in the Nike area. You got this, what do you say, about Under Armour and Adidas and whatever else they have up there. You know, they're microbrews. If you have a micro, you know, I mean, they really like microbrews up there. That'd be a great ballpark.
Yeah, just
a ballpark that could have like a wood, a flume ride, like a logging ride, because they build it out of the wood.
Just full of microbreweries, bike racks, and roach coaches, you know, and grilled cheese food trucks everywhere.
That's right.
You know what?
You need one of those retractable domes. You need that shed that like Safeco has. It's not, you know, it's called a roof, but it's really just a shed. It's a shed roof. You know what I mean? Because it's really cold. People don't realize how cold Safeco Field is, because it's just a big open space and it's right on a harbor. So it's cold as all get out, especially in April.
That's a good point.
That would be very interesting.
They always talk about San Francisco and the Bay.
What would you call? I mean, what would you call the Portland team? Does he have a name that he wants? Does he have a name that he'd want?
How about the Trail Timbers? Just a combination of their soccer team. The Timber Trails. The Lumber Barons. How about the Lumber Barons? How about the Oregon Greens? It's a play on marijuana.
Or the Oregon Sasquatch. Bigfoot.
It couldn't be ducks.
Dixie?
What would... Maybe... How about the Bill Waltons? There you go.
Oh, it's a special belt. you know what? The Oregon Jacks, like Lumberjacks.
I like that. Okay. That's what...
I like the Jacks.
Well, you know what? If you go to MLB2Portland.com, we can find out more information and submit your bids to maybe renaming or naming for the first time that future franchise. I've got it. Eric, I was going to save this. I actually am going to let the cat out of the bag.
But here's the other thing. But she's going to think about this. If the A's move up there, they'd be the Portland A's, and you could get like an IPA. You'd have IPAs. Beer, microbrew, see, it's marketing, A's, Oakland. And now, I'm ready to Raiders. The Raiders are talking about Vegas. Jeez, what do you think about that?
It makes sense. It, Vegas is a city of just nomads and just people that just wander in and out, which is a perfect place for Raiders to play, because that way their fans can just kind of trickle in through the airport, through McCarran Airport, through the bus station downtown, which I've been at, and on the highways, the 15. It's just going to be flooded with black and silver or gray or whatever color scheme that is.
Silver,
I think
you know what it is. You know it's black and silver.
It's
about this sheet.
It's very realistic.
You know, I just went to the I just went down to the Cirque du Soleil show, Curios, down at Dodger Stadium parking lot. All the tents are up for Cirque du Soleil. I had a great time. But you know, think about this: if the Raiders went to Vegas, there's all those Cirque du Soleils, and maybe Cirque du Soleil may do something that's inspired by the NFL or the Raiders. The Raiders, you know what I mean? Commitment to excellence. It would be great, man. I'd love to see. If you haven't been to a Cirque du Soleil show, they are crazy and
maybe
they are worth
it.
I got to go backstage. They have barbells. They have trampolines. So, you know, you got to warm up. I'm warming up on the trampoline before I go out on the trampoline in the big center.
Maybe they can do their own version of the critically acclaimed movie Concussion.
Concussion. Oh, yeah. I love that.
There
CD.
We go. That would just be, which, God, I love that when they try to make a movie that's like, this is going to be it, and like somehow change the world and like get nominated for all this stuff, and then it doesn't. It's so obvious when they do that. A good example, the Unbroken. They had Angelina Jolie direct. A great story.
Yeah.
World War II, prisoner of war. True story. Adapted from the book. I mean, the script
was... He won a gold medal. He was a prisoner of war in Japan.
And I'm just like, why is she directing this? This thing directs itself. You know, it was such an obvious attempt to get her, you know, all these awards. And it just, when it didn't, I was just so happy. And that's like Concussion. I mean, the movie is stupid. Okay, I'll watch a 10-12 minute ESPN Outside the Lines report on it, that's fine, but I'm not going to listen to Will Smith for 2.5 hours talking a horrible South African voice. And even if the impression is great, that's cool, that's a great impression, I still don't want to hear that sound for that long. It's just too much. And then the topic, try to be all controversial, take down the NFL. No.
The movie, the NFL doesn't want you to see.
Yeah, no, the NFL does want you to see that, because it's like, at this point, they're like, the information is out there. We all know we don't care about the doctor that found out. Really, we don't. And so, if you saw a Concussion, shame on you, because you know you didn't really need to see that movie. And, you know, it was awful. And if you left it saying, wow, that was really good, no, you're lying to yourself. No one's ever going to go see Concussion for a second time. From here on out, that someone that's, if you've seen it once, you're never going to be sitting on your couch and HBO comes on and it says Concussion 2-4. And you're like, oh, Concussion's on. Let's watch that. Nah, this is not going to happen.
Concussions won't watch it. So, Caesar, before we go on to our second Brant Tobler interview, and he's going to talk all about all things Broncos and Orange Crush and Paige Manning and being a super fan and having watched them win and lose, you know, we were talking right before we did the show, and because we were both sort of surprised. I mean, you know, the Broncos have been around, but they, you know, they sort of went through, it's like high and low tides that Broncos seem to have as a team. And so this will be their eighth appearance, and we were both a little like, you know, it's right, but you were sort of shocked to remember that Elway went to 3 Super Bowls in the 80s.
Yeah, that had completely slipped my mind, because it gets drowned out for me, and I was a young kid at the time too, but I do remember the beatdown.
But I'm saying, and my point was that I think it's the fact that then the Buffalo Bills going to 4 and losing basically sort of eclipsed Elway going to 3 and losing. Because even by the end, the Bills finally got beaten so bad that they wiped out how bad Elway got beaten by Montana, which also in turn wiped out how badly the Bears beat up the Patriots. Because this was also the era, as you might remember, this whole era was the bad Super Bowl beats, you know, from about you know, from like 85 to 95, some of the Super Bowls got really out of hand. And that's why we all started talking about commercials more than the games. We've been sort of blessed over the last 12, 15 years to have some really competitive ones.
Yeah, otherwise it's just been because I remember there were some really bad ones where everyone left. There just wasn't a game left. People were just, or you know, the game was over at halftime, and it was like, oh. But I do remember the '94 Super Bowl for some reason. The Chargers 49ers. Dion had just gone to San Francisco, and you know he's going to win back to back Super Bowls, but with different teams. And so there was always the drama back then. You know, the Andre Rison stuff was going on. Emmitt Smith's holding out, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if it's not competitive, people don't want to watch it. And so I'm just hoping for Brant's sake and for the sake of Broncos fans, because I am rooting for you. I'm rooting for Peyton Manning. I want him to go out. Just so that he can, you know, have a little bit more ammunition.
I'm not rooting for you, Denver fans, and I'm not rooting for you, Carolina fans. I am rooting for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to ride in at halftime and take the game over and claim their fifth trophy. That is what I'm rooting for. There, I've said it. I am rooting for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to come in at halftime and challenge everybody to a fight. That's what I want.
Guys,
I don't know if I'll see it.
Guys, go to BrantTobler.com. It's BRANDT. If you Google it, his name will pop up because it's like it's Brant and then Brant Snedeker, I believe is his name. Yeah, the golfer. So if you just Google Brant, you can't miss him. Very funny comedian, diehard Broncos fan from Cheyenne. When we come back on the break, from the break, we'll be talking with Brant. 2003 shit, this ain't no splitting bill shit. I'ma peel banana skits while listening to R. Kelly's greatest hits. Like sits while someone vomits on your mosquito tits, slitting wrist while dark evil spirits. Like
all right, we are back on Sportsaholics with a longtime friend of mine and a very funny comedian, Brant Tobler. How you doing, Brant? I know you got a big and Broncos fan. That's why you're
good. I'm good. I'm nervous, but I'm good.
What? Okay, so not to just go straight back and you know to. You know, Super Bowl's passed, but what are you doing anything differently in preparation for this Super Bowl compared to your guys' Super Bowl against the Seahawks?
Yeah, I'm doing it a lot different. I'm not going this time. I ended up going to the Super Bowl last time, and it obviously didn't go too good for me. So, and I went to one game. I had a sideline pass this year to go to a Broncos game, and it was a Broncos-Chiefs game. So the last two games I went to have not gone good for my boy Peyton, because that Chiefs game is, of course, the one when he got benched and played awful. So all my friends that are Bronco fans are like, please don't go to this game. Please don't go. So I'm going to stay here in L.A. and watch it somewhere. I haven't decided where yet.
Now, take us through, okay, the Super Bowl, like a 10. I mean, that's every sports fan's dream. I know it's one of mine. Like, I kind of could have gone to the Super Bowl in Indianapolis a few years back, but it was like, nah, I don't want to spend $1,800 on the game, you know. And whether it's you get it, but to get some tickets and to get a good deal on it, like, what does that even feel like? Are you just, can you even, is it like Christmas?
Well, I got way luckier than that. What happened was my buddy Jeff Dye, very funny comedian, my best friend, he I'm a broke comedian, so I don't have any money, so even the thought of going to that Super Bowl was like the dream. And he called me. I was doing shows in Vegas. He said he's a big Seahawks fan. So he's like, hey, man, you want to go to the Super Bowl? And I was like, well, of course I want to go to the Super Bowl. I can't go to the Super Bowl. I don't have any money. He goes, if you just get to New York, I got it. And so his girlfriend at the time, because his birthday is February 4th, and the Super Bowl was like the second, I think, bought him four tickets to the Super Bowl. And then she brought a friend, and then I got to go with them. And
I mean, I probably had a $15,000 ticket. I was sitting on the 45-yard line, two rows behind the Seahawks bench, and it was just weird because as I was flying out there, I was like, I want to be respectful. You know, Jeff did something nice for me, so I don't want to yell in his face when we kicked their ass the whole game.
I know,
we
that's like...
kill him.
Yeah, that,
so
I think...
on my flight... So the flight out, I was so nervous about, like, just trying to be cool, you know, when someone does something nice for you, but I still wanted to enjoy the moment because I knew we were going to win the Super Bowl. As a lifelong Bronco fan, to actually be there and have those seats, I just couldn't imagine anything bigger. So that was my plan, and obviously from the get-go, I never had to worry about that because I was surrounded by Seahawks fans who were screaming at me the whole game.
Now,
and it was a miserable experience. I actually kind of forgot about it the following year. I was in the green room at a comedy club, and I was like, I just really want to go to the Super Bowl one day. And someone was like, you went last year. And I was like, oh, shit, I guess I did. I just don't even think about it, honestly.
Well, I mean, look, you're going to black stuff like that, block it out permanently.
Yeah, and, yeah, yeah.
Now, and Jeff's a great guy, very funny comedian. And now, was he on the other side of that? Now, what? I'm sure, was he teasing
cool.
you, or was he just like, dude, I am really sorry about this. This is...
He was, I said, enjoy this. This is your moment. Like, don't hold back. I'm fine. I you know, I've lost a lot of Super Bowls. I remember when I finally won a Super Bowl. So he was very overly cool about it to the point where I kept going, no, man, don't worry about me. I'm keep drinking these $16 beers.
Hey,
you just enjoy every second of this.
Yep, but I'm going to save the cup, too. That way I can have this for at least a couple years before the dishwasher fades it away. And, you know, and then...
Yeah,
well,
so
and look, it's tough...
It was awful.
It's tough being... I was going to say, it's tough being a Seattle fan, too. You know, especially... I know Jeff's a... I mean, all those Seattle comedians are huge Sonics fans, so they leave.
Yeah.
And that's still a very fresh wound, guys. I mean, when you get an arm chopped off, it takes a while for that to heal, you know. And then... God bless the Mariners, but, you know, that whole thing has never been that successful. And so for them to finally get a championship there since, I forget when, 78 or something crazy like that, good for them. But enough about that.
Yeah, no, I was happy for them.
Well, what, so growing up, so we're roughly the same age. So I'm assuming when you guys lose, what was it, 55-10 to the Niners? Are you Are you young enough that you're actually weeping at that point?
Yeah, no, those hurt. Those all. I've cried every Super Bowl for different reasons. Actually, I didn't cry this last one, but I didn't cry the last two. The first three as a child, just getting our ass kicked. You know, and I was a real kid. I was like 6, 8, and 10 or whatever it was. And you know, the Redskins one hurt the most because we were up 10-0, and then it just got out of control. So after losing the Niners, the Giants one, I was like, okay, we're going to actually win this one. No one knew who Doug Williams or Timmy Smith or any of those guys were. So I really thought we were going to win. We got up 10-0, and I think it ended up 45-10 or something. So to lose those, and then when we finally, the Green Bay one, when we're like 14-point underdogs, that was the best day of my life, you know, because I'm not married or have any kids, so that's still the best day of my life. It's just, I remember just driving home crying, just honking my horn, and so I went down to the parade and all that, and then the following year, I was living in Phoenix, and I flew to Denver for that one, and once Eugene Robinson got suspended, like, the day before the Super Bowl, we were like, we knew we were going to kill Atlantis, and we killed him that whole time, so.
Now, that was for soliciting a prostitute, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. The day after he got the Man of the Year, like, Sportsmanship NFL Award. So he did present him with a trophy on Saturday night for being, like, the classiest football player. And then I think after the trophy ceremony, he got caught getting a hooker. So he was, when we woke up to that news, we knew we were going to beat him anyway. So we kind of caught a miracle that Vikings kicker missed an easy kick, or we would have had to play Randy Moss and Chris Carter and Dante, which would have been a lot tougher game than Jamal Anderson, and I think it was Chandler or some bum. So,
well, I think that sounds about
it. But I'm very nervous about this game because after that Seattle beating, it just took me back to my childhood when it's like every Bronco fan, I think we thought we were all going to kill Seattle, and then we got our ass kicked. So now everyone I've talked to this week is like, I don't know, I think we're going to win, but I'm just so nervous, so... It was very humbling for us as Bronco fans that last Super Bowl, or the one 2 years ago.
Well, you know, for me, I don't hate a lot. I hate the Yankees, but that's generational. I really dislike them, and then I found out that my grandpa has hated them, and then I looked back in the history books, and you know, all throughout his entire 30s, it was just Yankees World Series. You know, 8 out of 10 yeah. years. Oh, like, okay. So, but to grow up in Kansas City and then to see John Elway come in, and then Jake Plummer, and then Olsen, and then Cutler, and then Manning, and then whoever else. I probably forgot one other. But
yeah,
God, I hate the Broncos. I hate the Broncos, but I respect you guys because you're great fans. And it's not just Colorado, it's Wyoming, you know, your home state. And
yeah.
It's Idaho, it's Montana, it's Utah, it's everywhere. It's the entire, you know,
yeah.
Rocky Mountains, you know, sprawling probably all the way up into Alaska. You know, you guys are everywhere, and so you're good fans, and I respect that. And I can't really hate on the Manning thing as a Chiefs fan because we got Montana, you know. So we
yeah.
– We played that same card, but unsuccessfully, you know.
It's, yeah.
But as the Manning deck is running out, I mean, is this his last card coming up this Sunday?
I sure hope so, man. I hope so. Just as a fan of him, I just think he's done. And, you know, that game I was at was hard to watch. So just watch him struggle. Just have so much respect for him. He's such a classy dude. And, you know, it's like I'm also a Lakers fan, so this has been an awful year to see my heroes. It made me realize how old I am to see Kobe and Peyton just kind of falling apart right before our eyes. But so I hope he just wins. If there's a football gods, I think he'll let us win, and Peyton will definitely. If Peyton wins, I think he'll retire, and yeah, if he loses, I assume he'll retire too. So I hope this is his last game.
And so, and as part of that hope. So that Osweiler will stay and doesn't get.
I don't really care. I don't really care about that. Like, I like Osweiler, but I don't know. It's just this season, you know. What next year? If Osweiler is good or not, we're still. This is going to be it. You know, you got to assume. I think the defense. I think we got stuff for the future, but for me, and I think most Bronco fans, it's like we don't really give a shit about next year or. If Osweiler was good or not, just let us win this year.
Yeah.
And it'll hold us over for a while, you know? So I don't know. I just don't know if Osweiler is good. I mean, he's all right, but I don't know. His defense has carried everything all year, so.
Yeah.
I think we're all just, like, get through this game. Just win this game, and then we'll have that hangover so we can regroup in the next year or two.
Now, are you scared of Cam Newton at all? Is that at all worrying?
Yeah, yeah, he's great, man. He's great. You know, it's not even Cam. It's just that last beating. Just like I said, I think we all thought we were going to beat the Seahawks, and so it's just like you just don't want to get embarrassed again. And you just, I think we match up great because I think Cam's incredible, but I think his receivers suck. I think yeah. we have two incredible Kansas boys on the corners. So we just put them on, you know, put them one-on-one on Teddy Ginn, who drops half of everything, and whoever else they even put out there, like Philly Brown or whoever. It's a bunch of no-names.
Wait,
and you just send the other, let everybody else concentrate on Cam.
I didn't realize. I knew Talib was from Kansas. Who's your other – he went to KU too?
Chris Harris. Yeah, Harris is from CU too.
No kidding.
And he's tough.
Nice.
So we got a little Kansas connection there for you to root for.
Nice.
Couple Jayhawks off all those shitty Jayhawk football teams. I think we had the two decent Kansas players of all time.
We had Dana Stubblefield. He was and Chris Bryant. Yeah. They were both all pros in the NFL and both played. That was back at KU, like the early 90s. Like I think Glenn Mason was the coach.
Yeah.
And there was probably, I'm sure that there was some legitimate NCAA infractions occurring. I mean, they were KU football was going to bowl games. Is how bad they were, but. Well, I know.
So yeah, I think Cam's dope, but we'll see. I mean, this defense is tough, and for me, a bookie all those years, I've never seen it so one-sided. Every idiot I talk to is like, "You guys are dead. You guys are dead." And just all that time as a bookie, that just means that the Broncos are probably going to be fine because the public's always wrong, and the public just remembers the last thing they saw, which is Carolina beat an awful Cardinals team. So, I think. I'm very confident, but I just don't say it. Because I guess I am. I'm not very confident. That's kind of a bullshit thing to say, but I think we're going to win, but I'm just not pronouncing it like I would.
Yeah. Let's just say you're not worried, but maybe you're just not confident or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of that.
So actually, that's complete bullshit, everything I said. I'm actually worried, and I'm not confident. Because if I was confident, I would be saying it. So I think but if I'm being honest, I think we match up good, and I love this defense. And I mean, I was talking about it today with my buddy Andrew. I'm like, I got to think Peyton's just going to give that speech on Saturday night, like, all right, boys, this is it. You know, it's me. This is my final game, and just come with me one last time. And just thinking of that, I mean, that's like some Rudy shit. I don't think you lose, you know, in my head. It just gives me the chills to think about it as a fan. So I can't imagine being in that locker room. So,
oh, man.
I hope Peyton goes that route and says, hey, guys, this is it. Come on, man, let's just do this. Just give me one game all you got. And I can't imagine them not coming out.
I like it. Maybe he holds off pregame, waits to go into halftime tied or even trailing seven, then busts that out. You guys score, rattle off four touchdowns, and win by 17 points in the second half. That's my prediction.
I think he said it before, and they all know. And then if for some reason at halftime, you know, we're not – it's close or anything, then every leader we have stands up like, you know, Von Miller's and these guys, like, what the fuck, guys? This is it. And everybody will know. I hope.
Yeah.
If we lose that way, then we just lose. But I think, I have a feeling he's going to tell them, and then I don't see how they don't. I mean, they're going to, that's all kind of dumb shit to say, too, because I was just about to say, I don't know how they're not going to play their hardest, but I mean, it's
well,
the biggest
it
thing
is,
in their life, so
but
I'm
it's,
sure they're all going to play their
it's
hardest.
It's not about playing their hardest. It's about being prepared. And several times I've had one of my old high school teammates and longtime friend grew up with Ryan Lilja, who was his lineman in Indianapolis and got a Super Bowl ring there.
Nice.
And so he was saying that in the locker room, like what Peyton Manning will do is just, you know, make sure everyone's just there and knows what the fuck's going on. Because a lot of times, there's so much going on. And so with this, you know, probably being his last game, I can't imagine that it's all not only all hands on deck, but like everyone just checking everyone and just making sure everyone's not even on the same page, but on the same word on the sentence.
Yeah. So I agree with that. I mean, I think the 2 weeks, the more time he has to prepare. I mean, you know, mentally he's going to be there. It's just physically, you know, it's just.
Yep.
These passes aren't, you know, mentally in his head he's going to be like, I need to throw this 35 yard out. And then if that pass is 28 yards, then the guy was open. But if you're 7 yards short, you know, so I know you never worry about him. You know, he's a perfect guy to have on your team. You're always going to root for him, and you know he's always going to give you his best. But it's like I went to my high school last month. I was in my hometown for a while, so I just went back to practice.
What is your hometown, by the way?
It's Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, okay.
So I went back and said, I can run with these young kids, you know, and then in my head I could still do everything, but then when I got out there I was like, oh shit, this is like, I can't. I had some crafty moves, but they didn't matter that much. I'm like, one up and under fake guy, the other guy came out of nowhere, threw that shit off the bleachers. I was like, oh shit. In my head, I was prepared, but by physically, I was.
Yeah, I think.
I just wasn't as good.
Jason Galern warned me years ago. I saw him stumble out of his car at the Comedy Store, and I was like, "What's wrong?" He's like, "Played soccer last night." He's like, "Look, man, you're late 30s. You lose it. I'm telling you, stretch. You're gonna have to learn how to start stretching." I'm like, "No, come on!" And then. Yeah, no, he was not joking. Now, as every year, it just gets a little bit worse, a little bit worse.
Yeah.
No.
I took BP the other day in Phoenix. So it was a couple months ago, and I woke up, and the next 2 days, I was like, why does my body feel like that? I was like, oh, yeah, I took batting practice, and I haven't swung a bat in 20 years.
not only that.
My whole body was killing me.
Yeah, taking, like, huge cuts, like trying to break – trying to break the net with the ball. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was trying to. We were on the field and everything, taking real batting practice.
Oh.
I was trying to hit a home run like an idiot. Yeah. Living out a childhood dream, but not a...
No. You
grown,
did
drunk adult hungover bodies.
So. Brant, you did the right thing here. You did the right thing by attempting. I mean, you've got to, because you've got limited amount of pitches. Maybe you get 10 or 15.
Yeah.
You know, you got to swing for the fence every single time. Big hurt Frank Thomas style.
I was coming out of my shoes, so... Yeah, but now this all... So, I don't know. I think he was ready, and I don't know. I will love him. I mean, the fact we even got him just is so... It'll never make sense if you'd have told him. I thought he was, like, the one untouchable athlete that would never leave the Colts.
Yeah. No, I
there was a height of Tebow mania when we all loved Tebow. If you'd have told me you're going to get someone to replace Tebow, I'd have said, you're crazy. We love Tebow.
How did I forget Tebow?
We got Peyton, and we were like, oh, okay, you found the loophole.
You're like, who's Tebow? What is that guy's name again? God, he's always getting in everyone's way. Manning's way, he's got in Cam Newton's way at Florida.
It's funny.
Just holding up the line.
Yeah, we just to even have these years with him, you know, it's been fun. I mean, obviously I drafted every Bronco I could for my fantasy team. I won fantasy leagues because of this. We won a lot of games, though.
Wow.
And of course, we'd love to have more Super Bowls, but, man, it's been a cool run to just have him as a quarterback. So
that's awesome.
Because he's just a perfect athlete.
Well,
as far as class and just respectful and just always sitting.
He is. I mean, even with the Papa John's commercials, he's still somewhat respectable. The nationwide stuff kind of getting on my nerves a little bit.
I can see that. That's annoying to me too. But just as far as you just never have to worry about him getting in trouble or just.
Yeah, but let's go back to the nationwide thing real quick. My thing is, a jingle is catchy, and it's catchy because it's catchy. You can't just hammer it down people's throats and just assume it's going to become catchy. No, we're going to start gagging and throw it back up and want nothing to do with nationwide, whatever you're selling. Either way, I've had that built up there for a little bit. Sorry about that. A little nationwide outburst.
No, I hear you.
But
trust me, but I'm also a comedian. It's like, I know what that commercial money's like. So even though he has plenty of money, it's like...
Yeah, no kidding. He probably got $3 million.
The commercial offers I would take are just like, hey, man, money's good, so I don't...
Yeah, and if you win Sunday, you can sit at the table with everyone with the who's the best of all time, you know. You know, absolutely.
Yeah, he needs that. I mean, it's statistically, he doesn't, but...
No, yeah.
I mean, you got to win Super Bowl, so I agree. We felt it with Elway, and so I would love to have him dab too and just be in the argument. I mean, I think she's going to always be in the argument, but I don't want to listen to that his whole life. His brother has two. Really, I know Eli has two.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would ever say Eli's better than Peyton, anyone with a brain. Eli's done great. Eli's a great quarterback, but Peyton holds incredible records, and I mean, Peyton's winning 12 games a season pretty much after his first awful year. I mean, his winning
is
incredible.
Yeah, the game is so slow for him. I mean, he has just got the entire... He probably knows every team's playbook in and out somehow just because he's been studying the game of football now since he was 5 years old, so 35 years, I guess.
Yeah, that's what we're laughing about today. We're like, he gets an offensive coordinator that's younger than him. How can you even coach him? Be like me trying to coach Louis C.K. or something. Like, Peyton Manning's been running routes in his front yard with a Hall of Famer since he was 5 years old. When his offensive coordinator was like, learn how to jump rope in Oklahoma or some shit. Like, you can't coach. I mean, I don't know. I think it might be good for the Broncos next year because I think there'll be some kind of actual coaching because I can't imagine anybody telling Peyton anything. It just doesn't make sense. He's forgot more about football than most people know, you know. So.
That's got to be, if he's ever on Saturday Night Live again hosting, that's got to be a sketch. Be like, coach is calling a meeting and be like, is that all right, Peyton? Yeah, that's fine, coach. All right, cool. Players are kind of thirsty, Peyton. You mind if we could take a water break? That's fine, coach.
Yeah.
Every coach double checking with Peyton to see if it's cool. Just because, I mean, I would.
That's probably how it is.
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, who's gonna like question anything that guy says?
Yeah, I really do think that's probably how it is. I think everyone's fine with it because you know he's never. I don't think he has a selfish bone in his body. He's always got the team goals first. So I think being an offensive coordinator for him might be the easiest job, and the Broncos offensive coordinator might be the easiest job in the world.
Yeah.
Just agree with Peyton, and don't be late, and you're fine.
Well, not only that, but you probably end up learning stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
You're
right about that. You probably learn a lot.
Oh. Well, I don't want to take up it too much more of your time. I did want to talk to you about Wyoming. I don't know. I mean, I'm from Kansas City, Kansas, you know, side and Missouri side. It is two different. It's the real Twin Cities. Fuck Minneapolis, St. Paul, the quote Twin Cities. You don't get much more Twin City than two cities that are right next to each other that have the same name. I mean, that's identical.
Yeah.
You know, so if you ever want to piss off anyone from Minneapolis, say that to them. And I've done it before. It actually cost me. I used to do a television spot, and I did that joke, and the lady was from Minneapolis. Stop responding to my emails. Coincidentally, the next day, following that,
I think you got a valid point. Though I've never heard that argument, but
yeah, no, I started the Twitter account at the real fake cities. I actually, and if you go to it, the profile should be a map with Kansas City with the state line going down with the, but I'm serious.
I like it.
Minneapolis people hate that. But what is tell us about? I mean, Cheyenne. I've heard it. I've heard all about it in these country music songs. That people talk about much. What's it
so
like?
Sports wise, we don't really have much. Obviously, where I'm from is the capital. It's about 100 miles north of Denver, so we're mostly Denver fans. So growing up, you either like Denver teams or you like the Raiders if you were like that kid that wanted to disagree with what everybody liked.
That was everybody had that kid.
Yeah, everybody has that kid. So, and as far as like college sports, we have a one team, University of Wyoming, but it's in a shitty little town. It's so hard to recruit to. We should be like Division II. But we're always Division I, so everyone has that D1 pride. But if we were ever being realistic, we should go down to D2, play like North Dakota and South Dakota for the national championship and have something to be proud of, because we're never going to be in a bowl game. We're never a big bowl game. We're never going to – I mean, we make it to the tournament once in a while.
Yeah, you got Larry Nance Jr. I mean, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. No, it was a diamond in the rough that, you know. But I mean, basketball, we can compete – a little bit, but football, we should be D2. We're always like one of the worst programs. So, but the fans are, Wyoming's very loyal, very supportive. I mean, very supportive. I reap the benefit of it a lot because there's just people in Wyoming think I'm famous because there's just not many people there. So, the coolest thing about it is we have one area code for the whole state. So, we all rep the 307. I mean, that's as big as Wyoming is. There's only one area code, and I think there's two area codes within these three blocks from my house here in LA, so that's like a different part of it. But
dude, what's your
but the people are
the Surf Wyoming, right? I always see you posted about that. What website is that?
Yeah, so Surf Wyoming is just a cool clothing brand out of Sheridan that I just really love what they do. I wear a lot of Wyoming stuff. I wear all Wyoming stuff actually, because when I'm on the road, whenever you're wearing Wyoming stuff, if you see someone else from Wyoming, they'll always come talk to you. So, and Wyoming people, like I said, are the nicest, most genuine, regular people. So I love, they're my first choice of people I want to be around. So I always wore Wyoming gear to try to attract that. And then, and now I just love what these guys do. And then so we built a relationship, and then they send me all my clothes, and then I wear it. I rep them every day on stage and try to.
That's awesome.
Try to help them. It's like one of those things you would, but it's actually something I like, so it really worked out because it was something I was wearing, and then I reached out to them like, hey, would you guys sponsor me? And they said, of course. So they've been nothing but great to me. So if you want some cool gear, go check out surfwyoming.com. You'll get a lot of compliments on it because it's just cool shit, and then people are always like, Surf Wyoming, that doesn't make any sense. But
you're like, okay, next please.
No, it's cool.
Like,
yeah.
No, and I get what you're saying. Like,
so I just tell them about it.
When I was working up in North Dakota, so we flew into Denver and had to drive up to North Dakota, and I just remember being in this huge van, and then all of a sudden being in Cheyenne. I'm like, wait, we just left the airport like 45 minutes ago. I'm like, I thought this place was like in the middle of nowhere.
All right, Steve, so when next we speak on the next Sportsaholic, we will have a new Super Bowl champion. Now, as you know, I am rooting for it to be New England Patriots, even though they are technically not playing in the game at all. I am rooting for some sort of upset, the ultimate upset. Now, we're not going to do predictions because predictions certainly don't matter afterwards, but so what are you looking now? We will have a new Super Bowl champion. It'll either be the Panthers or Peyton Manning. What are you looking forward to post-Super Bowl moving forward on your sports calendar? What's next that you're setting your sights on?
First things first, sorry about that interview cutting off. My computer, you'll have to forgive me. It's old. It weighs like 15 pounds. That's how old it is, and it's a laptop. But it, for some reason, just cut off. So we got cut short. But we were wrapping. We were winding down anyway. But Eric, to answer your question.
Thanks, man.
To answer your question, it's spring training. It's already on the calendar, March 25th, March 26th, March 26th, excuse me, 27th. I will be in Surprise, Arizona for Royal spring training that weekend. I'm planning on attending one, possibly two games. And so that's number one priority right there.
Interesting, because I have realized that now it's time for me to start – I've had to put away my 2015 NFL season. I have to start, you know, looking
prematurely,
forward to 2016.
Prematurely for a Patriots fan, you had to call it a season before the Super Bowl. God forgive you guys. You know, it's going to be a hell of an off season for you without having attended a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not crying about it, but it is one of those moments where you have to wake up. And go, wow, you know, the Red Sox, they got that David Wright. And I haven't been paying much attention to that because I didn't want to get distracted while I was concentrating on my Patriots, especially when I was trying to lock up playoff advantage in the playoffs, which I didn't get. But now that it's all over, I'm looking forward to what the Red Sox put on the field, hoping that someday the Celtics will be really an actual contender in the playoffs instead of just an interesting team. And God bless the Boston Bruins. I am not, you know, Jimmy Boeheim's wrapping up at Syracuse, but, you know, we've been on suspension or probation or double-season probation, whatever we're on. I don't think we can go anywhere this year again, which isn't fun for me. Geez.
Now, do you thought about getting Larry Brown at Syracuse and just dressing him up like Jim Boeheim once Jim Boeheim retires?
I think that's a great idea.
I mean,
absolutely.
I know that they're this year they can't at SMU. You know, they can't make the postseason. They're no longer undefeated. But next year, you know, with being eligible for the tournament, maybe you can get that program going, or you know, just pick up the baton from Boeheim, and they look so similar anyway, and they're about ready to just collapse at any moment. That is one of the drawbacks if you do decide to bring in Larry Brown.
I'm also curious, too, when, you know, Kobe's on his way out, Peyton Manning seems to be on his way out. I'm wondering, now that Derek Jeter's is way back in the rearview mirror, I'm really wondering who's gonna occupy my sports hate looking forward. I'm wondering who will end up taking... You know, the guy I enjoy, just enjoy watching. I enjoy rooting against because you have to have guys that you enjoy to root against.
You know what? After last year's baseball season, for me, Tabata, who was with the Pirates, I don't know if he's still with them, but he's the guy that leaned into Max Scherzer's perfect game, gets hit by the pitch, takes first, then Max Scherzer then strikes out the side in the ninth. And, you know, has a no-hitter, which is great, but that guy's just a dick, leaned into a pitch, you know, to break up the perfect game. So that was – so now he's now on my I really don't like you list guy.
Yeah, but, like, you know, this is one of those things, like, right now, in some ways, I have to go back to just basic default of not liking the Yankees, not liking the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I'm it's like the Lakers I'll never like, and I'm hoping they stay in disarray. You know, but also I know that when Kobe's gone, they actually will start doing stuff that will be interesting because they've just been built around the wrong person for the last three seasons.
Well, I mean, for me, you know, the Royals open up at home with the Mets. I don't hate the Mets. I mean, I got nothing but love for the Mets.
I got Met hate. Oh, I got Met hate. 1986. I don't feel bad that they haven't won since then. I don't feel bad at all.
Well, no,
you know?
Well, you guys are looking good this year, and I mean, with David Price, you guys are at least due for that, like the Yankees kind of did this year, that at least the wild card, if not the division. Toronto, I mean, you stole their ace.
We'll have to see, because they don't play the games on paper.
That is true. Well, anything you want to get out before we wrap this brilliant Joe Bimel episode number 97 up with? Oh, real quick.
Yeah, well, I'll say, go ahead, geez.
I was going to say, next week, we are going to have heist. Like, this is great. This is why I love this show, because it gives me, a platform to interview guys that I grew up watching from afar, you know, reading about. But we're going to have high school basketball legend Teddy Dupay on next week. Played at the University of Florida, was kicked off the basketball team his senior year for gambling allegations, and played professionally down in South America, and even recently, up 2 years ago, was trying out for the minor league NBA team at 34 years old, and but averaged 42 or 44 points a game in high school. So if you have any questions you want us to ask Teddy, Mr. Dupay, next week, just tweet him at us. I've already got a couple great ones that I'm definitely gonna ask. So looking forward to that. And next week, we're going to also be talking with Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City. And so
we'll
have him on just to, just talk about the history of the museum and just some of the people that he's gotten to meet and interact with. Was a longtime aide of baseball legend Buck O'Neill, first African-American coach in Major League Baseball with the Chicago Cubs, longtime player and coach of the Kansas City Monarchs. So that's going to be a real blessing to have him on, and Mr. Kendrick's great. And for me in the past, even last year, went to the Hall of Game ceremonies in Kansas City, which is the Negro League's own personal Hall of Fame, which was fantastic, hosted by Rick Sutcliffe. Got to briefly meet Luis Tiant, got his autograph. You know, Ricky Henderson's there, Ozzie Smith, Fergie Jenkins was there.
Look, geez, you know what? You're talking about Hall of Fame. It reminds me of our Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't put anything in the Hall of Fame for a while, so we should probably put the Negro League Hall of Fame in our Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we got Bo Jackson in our Hall of Fame. The Negro League's Baseball Hall of Fame is also now in our Hall of Fame. I like that.
Bo Jackson was the original inductee in the Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, guys, thank you for listening. We've been getting about 5,000 listeners a month, which is fantastic. That's way more than I had ever imagined. And, it's, you guys are telling your friends and passing it along and sharing the stories and all that, passing the episodes along. That's great. Definitely appreciate that. And if you guys have any ideas or suggestions for guests you'd ever like to have on, just email us or, tweet at us, and we'll try to reach out to them and get them on. And, hopefully entertain them and get some good stuff out of them. But I'm not going to do
good.
I'm going to say, with the Teddy Dupay, I'm going to talk about the gambling. So don't tweet like, oh, ask him about the gambling. Gambling's being covered. But this guy.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
Good anyway, note.
Go ahead.
Get that. All right, guys, in the Hollywood area, you guys can come to the Show Up, Go Up every Sunday night, 11 to 1 at the World Famous Comedy Store. I'll be hosting every Sunday this month. Except the last Sunday, which is another show. Last Sunday of the month is another show. And then, for guys, that's in the Hollywood area. If you are in the Fort Collins, Colorado area at the end of March, I believe March 29th, I will be opening up for Saturday Night Live's own Leslie Jones, who's been on Sportsaholic. She's a future Ghostbuster.
Leslie Jones.
And then I'll be opening for Leslie there in Colorado in March, and I believe in Atlantic City in April, and then they're going to be in Vegas in July. We'll be announcing more dates as they happen, guys. It's a great time to be working with Leslie Jones.
Hey,
if you guys can come out, talk about Sportsaholics, and it'd be fun to talk to Sportsaholics and Vine fans when I'm out there in America.
Hey, if you guys need anyone to carry luggage, you know where to find me.
All right. So that's it for us. You can follow me on Twitter at OzatMarino and whatever. Ask me questions, and I will answer them as best as my ability. Cheezer, that's it for me. I'm going to say stay obsessed and blow a whistle. You do what you want.
Yep. Go to onelovely.com, onelovely.com for some great shirts, great one-offs, all kinds of great stuff. Go check them out. Also, if you're in San Diego, in La Jolla, California, go to Don Carlos Tacos. They're amazing. Right on Pearl Street, catty corner from the Comedy Store, La Jolla. At Eat a Burrito on Twitter. Guys, that's it for this week. Until next week with Teddy Dupay and the amazing Bob Kendrick from the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Stay obsessed, guys.
Stay obsessed. Bye.
Yeah, everybody's got a soul to shine.